It's Marketplace Tech for August 27th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you're a big video game fan, you've probably been to the brick-and-mortar gaming retailer GameStop. Maybe you've even lined up outside to wait for big game title releases. Well, this year, there are some really big games coming out. The latest version of Halo and a Star Wars-themed game. In a world where digital delivery of new games is ever more popular, though, there's a question of how long those lines at brick-and-mortar stores will last. GameStop announces earnings today. Marketplace's Sally Herships takes a look.
There is a crisis in the video game universe, at least for GameStop.
The theory is that GameStop over time is going to struggle because games being sold through boxes are just not going to be as popular.
Ian Scher is executive editor at CNET News.
I mean, if you look at the industry, selling over the internet is clearly the future.
Evan Narcisse is with the video game website Kotaku. He says one way brick-and-mortar retailers are fighting back is by getting game publishers to create special editions.
If you want an actual physical thing, like a collectible statue or a limited edition art book,
or a fake foam ninja sword, Narcisse says chances are serious fans will plunk down extra cash. But brick-and-mortar retailers know that's not enough, so they're trying to sell other stuff, too. Brian Blau is with Gartner, a technology research firm.
Keyboard and mice, you have headphones, you have speakers.
Blau says the video game industry is worth $80 billion a year globally, and retailers like GameStop are going to have to adapt to stay relevant. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
By the way, video game play streaming website Twitch has a new competitor. Google just launched its own live game streaming service on YouTube. It's a growing pastime, and YouTube actually has the majority of video game viewers. But Twitch is beating it in one department still: revenue. And we are living in a time where the closest thing to artificial intelligence might be digital personal assistants. You know Apple's Siri, Microsoft's Cortana, Google's Now. Well, long rumored, now here, Facebook M. Part of the company's messaging app, M will help you make appointments, find places, and buy stuff via text. Oh, and it'll also help Facebook collect more of our data. In a week of market volatility like this one, a lot of people are thinking about what to do with their money. Of course, you gotta spend money to make money, and a personal asset manager costs dolo. Well, BlackRock, the world's largest company offering these kinds of services, just bought a San Francisco firm called Future Advisor. What does Future Advisor make? A robotic asset management service. It's an indication that BlackRock might be looking to target a broader demographic. Sophie Schmidt is senior analyst with Aite Group's wealth management team. Hello, Sophie.
Hey, Ben. How are you?
Can you walk me through how this works? Like, say I'm a person who's engaging with this kind of robotic advisor. Am I sort of chatting with a computer program? Am I sending it my details and it's emailing me back some suggestions? How does it work?
Well, yes. I mean, there could be human interaction in some cases if you want it to. I mean, they've realized that is important to ads. But in the most common scenario, you are filling out a questionnaire, you know, 5 to 10 questions. They're getting a sense for your risk profile and recommending a portfolio. And often you are able to actually email with a dedicated person, you know, with a John or a Michelle. So it doesn't feel as robotic.
The target demographic here is people, maybe younger people, who don't have the money to hire a private wealth manager?
Yeah, that's correct. There is an appetite, especially among the young right now. I think boomers are very much stock-focused. They love picking stocks. You know, in the 1990s, that was all the rage, right? And that's kind of where they really started managing their wealth. But the millennials went through the crisis. They don't really think of investing as a way to necessarily generate tremendous wealth. You know, a little bit of wealth, great. And so they'd rather delegate.
How do these digital services deal with market volatility like the kind we've been seeing in recent days?
You know, it's really about crafting the right digital communications to make sure that investors are staying the course and are not selling. They've actually, and one of them has, Betterment in particular, has invested in behavioral finance experts to craft those right messages. We're going to continue to see if the market downturn continues to place pressure on investors to see how well they fare compared to a human advisor, but at least in the first couple of days, they're doing quite well with those communications.
Sophie Schmidt is senior analyst with Aite Group's wealth management team. Sophie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And fallout from the Ashley Madison hack continues. One thing worth remembering is that you can't stereotype the hacked. A security researcher in Australia named Troy Hunt regularly uploads data sets to help people know if they've had their information breached. And Hunt has been fielding tech support questions like he has never fielded before.
Normally, I would get some questions relating to the nature of the data or what people should do to protect themselves. But what I've found with Ashley Madison is that it's such an emotive issue that I'm getting very, very sensitive, detailed personal information from people about the impact of this event on their lives. Often not even questions, just a sort of an outpouring of grief.
One note he received stuck out in particular.
Before I went to bed a couple of nights ago, I got one from a guy who said, make sure you give your wife and kids a kiss goodnight. I'm going to do the same with mine because I don't think I'm going to be able to do it for much longer. And that was as a result of his data appearing in the Ashley Madison data breach. And that's, that is a very traumatic thing to read as someone else with a wife and kids.
Security researcher Troy Hunt, he wrote about who the Ashley Madison members really are, and it will change the way you're thinking about this story. It's posted at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.